It's good to praise the Lord. The Bible says that it is good thing. It is a good thing to praise the Lord. We've been talking all of this month about your field, what's growing in your field, what's causing problems. Your life represents that field that God looks at. He gave you your life. Have you ever thought about that? Your life is the gift of God. To get up every day and to be able to breathe, to see the beauty all around us, that is the gift of God. And you need to enjoy it. As you grow in that field, as you grow in that life, you're going to learn certain things about God and about yourself. He wants you to be very fruitful. Very fruitful. And one of those fruits is praise. You probably didn't realize that, but it is the fruit that God gives you. The only thing that you can give that really God didn't give you directly is your praise. Now, he did things to cause that praise. He implemented things in your life. He moved in a certain way so that you could praise him. So that's what we're going to talk about today as we close out this segment of moving forward in our faith and planting in our field. We're going to talk about the attitude of praise. I invite your attention to a passage of scripture found in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 13 through 16. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 13 through 16. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. Verse 15 says, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Attitude of praise, the attitude of praise. Father, bless us now as we shall attempt to bring out what you've given us. I pray that you'd make it meaningful, helpful, and Lord, make it fruitful, that our life would represent this praise attitude. And all that we do and all of our efforts, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us that we might discern the truth, and that the truth would indeed set us free. I ask it in the precious and matchless name of Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. If we think about the attitude of praise, we need to find a model, someone that represents praise, someone that typifies, someone that exemplifies what praise is really all about. There's a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to praise, because people think it's a method or it's a technique. It's really an attitude. It's something in your heart. It's something on the inside of you that acknowledges God. Something on the inside of you that said, God is real. And he's done some great and wonderful things in my life. Worship is not about a form or fashion. Some people would have you to believe that, but really God looks at your heart. He looks at your heart. Some people like me, I tend to be noisy. Always have been that way. I used to make a joyful noise to the devil. Amen, somebody. But now I'm making a joyful noise to the Lord. Because I love God. I sincerely, in my heart, I love God. I want to please him. I want to praise him. That may not be your style of worship. You may be one of those people you like to sit back and contemplate. That's fine, as long as it's in your heart. It must be in your heart. So while we are looking at this subject of praise, I don't want us to head off in the wrong direction. What do I mean by that? There are people that sometimes they think of praise as a ceremonial type of celebration. It's a ceremony that we go through, rituals that you engage in. Many faiths, they light candles, they chant different liturgies of worship, and they go through that. Nothing wrong with that as long as it's in your heart. If it's not in your heart, you're going through a routine. If it's not in your heart, you're going to lose it as soon as you depart from that place of worship. It has to be in your heart and in your soul. It is towards the Lord, not unto men, but unto God. Here at our church, we do have a ceremonial worship. We have what we call a devotional that we go through, usually involving a song, a scripture, and a prayer. And then we get into the rest of the service. We have those things because it helps us to put into some format our praise. Are you listening to me? But then there's times when people will worship, and I call it situational worship. You know, you have this fortune that happens in your life, and all of a sudden you throw up your hand, praise God, hallelujah, that's wonderful. Somebody just gave me $1,000. I started to say you won the lottery, but I'm not going there today. I'm not going to do that today. But we rejoice in good fortune. It is situational worship where something happens in your life and you feel like giving thanks. That's fine. And when the situation is usually over, that's when people stop praising God. David was not that type of person. He was a person after God's own heart. He hungered and thirsted after God. One psalm that he wrote, he said, my soul thirsts after you more than the deer pants after the water brook. That's how much he loved God. Now would be a good time to ask, how much do you really love God? Or have we, like many others, been distracted by the things of this world? Have we been drawn into those things and we pay more attention to those than we do to the living God who gives us breath every day? Praise is a wonderful thing if you really understand it. If you don't understand it, then it's nothing more than something else to do. People come out each Sunday to various places of worship and they offer what they call praise. But the baseline is it from the heart? Everything that King David did, he did it with all of his heart. He did it with all of his might. I might even mention a third type of praise. It's manipulative praise. Manipulation, you know, just like we would do with people. We butter them up in order to get something back from them. You do not have a quid pro quo relationship with God. That means something for something. Why do I say that? God loved you before he made you. Before he set the foundation of the world, Almighty God had already set his affection on you and he'd already decided, I'm going to love you whether you love me or not. That's what God did for you. In this world where people are mistreating one another, hurting one another, injuring one another, you got a mighty God in heaven. He wants to love you. As we think about praise, it is our response to God. It's how you respond to him. How do you rejoice and show your joy toward him? David loved the Lord. Some things he would call God in praise. And Lord, you're my shepherd. Lord, you're my light. You're my salvation. You're my refuge. You're my strength. He said, you're my strong tower. A strong tower was a place of refuge that people would run to and they'd gather in the tower to keep them from all of the enemy that was below them. God was his strong tower. He worshiped God. And he found ways to relate to God in his own understanding. And guess what? God loved that praise. Don't let anybody tell you that when you're giving praise from the heart, well, the Lord must not like that. Listen, we don't have to be like one another when we praise God. Okay? I don't have to be like you. You don't have to be like me. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to be like me. But you must give Him praise. The word hallelujah is a command that you praise God. You've been commanded to praise God. And guess what? You've been commanded to praise Him with your lips. You say everything else with your mouth, why not praise the Lord? Talk to me up in here. So as we look at praise, we think about the praise that we're giving to God, and I call it that fourth kind, not ceremonial, not situational, not manipulative, but we have heartfelt praise. Heartfelt praise. That's what I want from every person. What hinders that sometimes is we have a guilty attitude, something we may have done, and we feel like, well, God's not going to accept my praise. Yes, He will. One of the things that David found out is that he could even praise God when he did wrong. Amen. Amen. Because praising God is to acknowledge that God is Lord. Never think that you can come to church and not bring your guilt and your shame to God in prayer. Never think that God would push you away, because if it's in your heart, you are making a confession to God. Say, Lord, I messed up. I didn't do right. I need strength, but I'm here before You because I recognize that there's a need in my life. I can't make it without You. And David loved God so much that the Lord said to him, you know what, I'm going to forgive you. Matter of fact, I'm going to already forgive you because I knew you were going to pray. He was one that loved the Lord. I want to give you a couple of things today as we think about the praises that David gave to the Lord and what you need to do as an expression of your heartfelt worship. What that really means in your life and what they can really do for your life. Praise God despite your challenges. And why do I say that? Because God's will is going to be worked out no matter what happens in your life. I don't know how. I don't know when. But I can tell you that God walks with you. And that challenges, the challenges that you're facing, He's right there with you. He's right there. As a matter of fact, can I tell you? You never would have made it this far if it had not been for the Lord. Sometimes your heart is broken. Sometimes your life is confused. Sometimes your mind is cloudy. But God has not changed. That same God that brought you this far, that same God that kept you through every storm that you've been in your life, that same God will be right there despite the challenges. Praise is critical to our worship. It's critical to our worship. As a matter of fact, you can't really worship God unless you praise Him. You recognize His being. You recognize that even though He didn't give you what you wanted, He's still on the throne. And sometimes God withholds things for something better. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. You hear that one. God may not give you what you want today, but you better believe, amen, He's going to give you what you need. Can I talk to you today? My God shall supply. Come here, Paul. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches. Look at somebody, tell them God ain't broke. Look at somebody else, tell them God is not broke. He knows how to bless you. He knows your address. Matter of fact, He's numbered the hairs on your head. God knows everything about you and me. So as we think about this attitude of praise, we look at King David, and this scripture that we have is an unusual one. He wants something to represent his life and all that the Lord has done from the first moment that he knew God up until that point. And so he set his mind on the Ark of the Covenant. It was a gold box. Had staves, or what we call rods, that went through where people would carry it. And they would carry the Ark of the Covenant. Wherever Israel would go, there the Ark would rest. Now the Ark would normally be in a tabernacle all by itself. But David loved to praise God, and since he was the king, he said, I need God. I want God's presence so much, so what I want to do is to bring the Ark of the Covenant home with me. I wish somebody would talk to me today. It's not about coming here to the building crossroad in order to get the blessing of God. But you ought to have a desire that when you leave here, you want God to come home with you. You want the Lord to dwell where you dwell, and for the Lord to rest where you rest, because you're going to need God each and every day of your life. That's why I call it an attitude. This was not a once a week, once a month type of thing with David. He had an attitude of praise. And he always wanted to be in the presence of God. But then we also have to acknowledge that worship and praise helps us to remember. Things we have in the church, then things that we do, helps us to remember the goodness of God. We're going to be celebrating communion, and on the front of the table that says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Why? Jesus said that. So why do I have to remember God? This stuff that's going on in this world will make you forget. Are y'all here? Adam and Eve were in a perfect garden, in a perfect environment, and they forgot all about what God said to them. They got it twisted because they were not praising and worshiping the Lord. When you worship God, you bring him to the center of your attention. You're saying, "God, you got my attention. I'm paying attention to what you're doing. I'm giving you the honor and glory for all that you've done for me." So here's David. You can see it in your mind's eye. As he gets with the priests, the Levites, and he says to them, "We're going to bring up the ark, and I'm going to bring it to my house. I'm going to take the Lord home with me." We used to sing that song in the church many years ago, "Take the Lord with you everywhere you go." I'm going to bring the Lord's ark home with me that I may worship the Lord. Well, they tried it the first time. Something went wrong. They were going to bring it home the easy way. Everybody say easy way. Rather than the priest carrying it as they were ordered to and as they were commanded, they got them a little cart. They got them an easy means of transportation, said, "We're going to roll it on the cart." And they got to the threshing floor. And all of a sudden, the cart that it was on slipped. And Uzzah, one of the priests who had been trained how to conduct himself, how to carry that ark, reached out his hand and steadied it. Look at somebody, tell him, "You better be careful with your easy way." Reached out his hand and he touched the ark, and God struck him dead. Why? He did not take God seriously. David that day was afraid of the Lord. He feared God because the Lord had caused a breach. He called it Perez Uzzah, which means a breach with Uzzah. Whatever you do in your life and your praise, don't play with God. Do not play with his mercy. Do not play with his goodness. This generation that we're living in, they're calling themselves Christians, and yet they do any and everything. Yeah. One thing I did when I was a sinner, and still I'm a sinner without God, but I'm a saint with God. Y'all understand that later. I'm not so good that I cannot fail, but the reason why I don't slip like I used to is I got God in my life. But let me tell you something. People are playing with God because when they're saying, "I can do anything and the Lord is going to forgive me," Perez Uzzah is getting ready to happen to you. You do not play with grace. You do not play with mercy. You don't play with goodness. Take the Lord seriously. That is your praise and that is your worship. David wanted people to understand, "I love God. I love him with all my heart." And so as it turned out, David left the ark in a place where the Lord was going to bless. It's called the house of Obed-Edom. Go back and read the whole chapter of 2 Samuel chapter 6. Absolutely fascinating. Then put yourself in the story and allow yourself to be one of those ones in that crowd worshiping God. As a matter of fact, you're in a crowd worshiping God today. And we're here to give God praise. We're here to give God glory. We're here to honor Him. We're not here to look around, see what else somebody else, what you wearing. Don't worry about what I'm wearing. Long as I'm covered with the blood, I'm all right. Can I get a witness here? You didn't come to church to spy on anybody. You came to church to give God thanks. Put Him in the center of your attention and everything's going to be all right. So they had to leave the ark at the house of Obed-Edom. And here's where we get into the attitudes. People say, I don't know what attitude is. Yeah, you do. You have one all the time. You know what attitude is. I'm going to talk about the attitude of praise. The first attitude of praise. The first thing that motivates you, that encourages you to praise God, is that your praise is a receipt for answered prayer. What do you mean by that, preacher? Every time that David got something that he had prayed for, he said, Lord, I need you to deliver me. And when the Lord delivered him, praise would come up and said, Lord, I thank you for delivering me. You go to a place and you buy something. That receipt says three things. It says what you got. It says when you got it. But it also says who you got it from. While your prayer has been answered, a whole lot of people have not given God His receipt, have not said, Lord, thank you. And the receipt reminds you, this is what the Lord did for me. Sometimes we call it a testimony. Are y'all still here? But I never shall, I said I wasn't going to shout, but I got to shout. I never shall forget what the Lord has done for me. Psalm 116, we see David expressing this. He said, I love the Lord. Why does he love the Lord? He answers it in the next part of the verse. Because he has heard my voice and my supplication. Isn't that something? Why would you pray if you thought God wasn't going to hear you? Well, then after you pray, you got to say something. After you pray, usually we say, thank you, Lord. As I said, it doesn't have to be a whole lot, but you're simply acknowledging that God's going to do what He said you're going to do. He's going to bless you and bring you out. That's the attitude. That's the attitude. Now, young people, I guess y'all still call it copping an attitude. Do they still say that? Help me out, young folk. Don't let me get out here in dangerous water. Copping an attitude? All right, I'm looking at some of the young folk. They're saying, yeah. Everybody copping an attitude in life. You need to cop an attitude of praise. No matter what goes on in my life, I'm going to give God praise because He's going to hear my prayer. God's going to hear my prayer. Here's the second thing that we need to think about when we talk about an attitude of praise, and that is praise allows you to take an inventory of God's work. Psalm 26 and verse 7, it simply says that the Lord has done these marvelous things. He's done wonderful things in my life. Show me anything that God did a shabby work at, and I say that's the devil. Are y'all here? Everything that God made was good. It's been triple inspected because whenever God says it's good, it is good. We give God thanks because of the great things that He's done, the wonderful works of God. And guess what? God's still working on you. He's still working on me. We have a lot to praise Him for. Amen. Philippians 1 and 6, he that hath begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Every time I look at where the Lord brought me from and where He's taking me through and how He's bringing me to someplace, are you still here? God has blessed you. God has given you some great and wonderful things. You ought to get an attitude about that. You ought to get a praise attitude about that because of His mercy and His kindness. Anybody learn anything today? Amen. And then the third attitude that we have is that we have the ability in praise to faithfully follow God. Look at that. Faithfully follow God. Psalm 23, He leadeth me. That's a personal thing. Now in that psalm, you may not have noticed it before, but in that psalm, David starts off talking about God. But in that verse, he transitions and starts talking to God. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. And then right at that moment, he flips and says, for your name's sake. In other words, he wasn't just talking about God. When you praise God, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. While you giving God thanks, God's going to show up. While you're lifting your hands, God's going to show up. One of the types of praise is actually to worship with uplifted hands. To worship him with uplifted hands and to give honor unto God. Amen. And I wasn't going to talk about that today because that's another sermon for another time. But when you say that type of praise, you're giving God honor and you're lifting your hands unto the Lord. It's called yada. You don't have to know the Hebrew word. Just do it. Amen. Just do it. Just praise him. Just honor him because he is worthy. Anybody got an attitude? I know you walked in here with one, but I'm talking about right now. Do you have an attitude? Everything that's going on, everything that's happening in your life, is all a part of how God is molding you and shaping you so that you would be like Christ. You would be molded and shaped into his perfect image. I love the fact that God is leading us as a shepherd. Sheep don't know where they're going. They don't know how to find grass, and when they find grass, they'll start eating it, eat the roots, everything else, eat the rock, and then the shepherd had to make them lie down now. Just like us, taking in everything in this world. Some of y'all so nosy on Facebook, trying to know everybody else's business. Talk to me up in here. But your shepherd said, put it down now. You need to get your Bible. So we have this attitude of praise. Then the fourth attitude, the fourth thing that we have in expressing our praise toward God, it is a testimony of God's goodness. It's a testimony of how good God is. Have you reflected that word Selah in the scripture? You'll read it especially in Psalms. It says Selah. It's a musical note denoting that you need to pause. We don't know the full meaning of it, but part of it is slow down. Pause. Take some time out and think about what God has done for you. Let me ask you another question. Do you know how many times he blesses you in one day? Matter of fact, let me just narrow it down. Do you know how many times he blesses you in 1 hour? So when you think about God's goodness and his mercy, it's limitless. Take a Selah moment and start thanking God. To bring you back into the text, we read about David bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. They learned their lesson. They went back and they read the word and they found out that the Levites were actually to carry that on their shoulders, not to take the easy way. Boy, I learned that one so many times. Had to go back and learn it again. So now they're bringing the Ark into the place, into the tabernacle where David has spread forth. It says, and it was so that they that bear the ark, that's not a small word there, that's an encouraging word there. It's your responsibility to praise God, not the choir. Your responsibility. You can join the choir. T came up this morning and said, I got a song on my heart. I started telling her, no. But then, and then I knew she wasn't going to let it rest. I said, well, let me, and lo and behold, Lord blessed her this morning. Bless you, T. Amen. There are people that depend on someone else to give them a praise. It doesn't work that way. You've got to put it on your shoulder and say, God, I'm going to praise you. My feelings don't feel like it, but I'm going to praise you. My body is telling me I'm weak, but I'm going to praise you. My mind is telling me, why should I? But I'm still going to praise you. You may not have given me what I wanted, but I'm still going to praise you. Because you're worthy of all praise. Praise is your testimony. Now, before they took the ark up, something else happened. While the ark was at the house of Obed-Edom, David heard news of, hey man, Lord's blessing his house because he got the ark. And David scratches his head, wait a minute, I was supposed to be at my house. And if you go back and read the text, it says that the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he had. Not just something. God blessed his children. God blessed his cattle. God blessed everything that was in his household because he had the ark at his house. Why do you need to take the praise from in here back to your house? Because God's going to bless your house. As a matter of fact, God has already blessed you. You don't know how many times death circled your bed and wanted to take you, but God said, no, not so today. You don't know how many times your mind could have slipped and you could have given up and thrown up both of your hands, but God said no. The things that you've been through, the ups and downs that you've had, God was with you and he's still with you right now. And I dare anybody, knowing that the Lord has been with you, to hold back and say, I'm not going to praise him. You've got to praise him. You've got to give him thanks. You've got to glorify him. Because if it had not been for God, where would you be? David thought about it. He said, now that ark is over at the house of Obed-Edom. But it's supposed to be at my house. And so what he did, he said, you know what? We're going over there and we're going to bring the ark of God into the city of David. Are y'all still listening? As a matter of fact, you don't have to get the ark. All you got to do is get a praise in your heart and the Lord on your mind. If you would just lift up your voice and said, Lord, you are good and your mercy is everlasting. Watch God bless you. Watch God make a way for you. Watch God smile on you. Watch God bring you out. Watch God deliver you. Watch God save you. Watch God give everything you need because he is your provider. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Yes, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. God bless me, and I'm going to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. That's how you spread this thing. That's how you let folk know that God is real. But if you shut down your praise, you're going to be denying God. Can I get a witness here? Which brings me to my last attitude. I'm going to take my seat. I'm going to my seat after this, Tony. I'm going to my seat. David went down to the house of Obed-Edom, and they bore the ark on their shoulders. Notice the scripture verse says that David danced before the Lord. Some of y'all don't try that. Don't even try. You ought to be glad the Lord still got you walking. Amen, somebody. For those that can't dance, just wave your hand. Just wave your hand. Amen. But the point is, it was in his heart. It was in his heart. It was a testimony. It was his personal offering to God. Notice and underscore the word personal. Personal. He girded himself with a linen ephod like the priest would wear. Sleeveless garment that they wore as the priest. And he's just dancing. Like a little child. He's just dancing. You ever seen a little child that all of a sudden they just get this little thing. No music playing. They'll just start. And you're wondering what's going through their mind. They are happy. They're expressing that joy. Little babies will clap their hands and they'll be so innocent. David was like a weaned child before the Lord as he danced. It was personal. Michal, his wife, daughter of Saul, looked out the window. Oh my goodness. What is he doing? I can just hear now. Sometimes Jesse asks me, what you doing? I'm praying. Who you talking to? I'm talking to God. I ain't here. I wasn't talking to you. With all of his might, he praises and honors God as they enter into the city. of David into that place where the ark will take its rest. Now all of a sudden Michal is very much torn. She had no praise in her heart. She didn't understand all the storms that David had gone through. Don't expect other people to understand your praise. Don't expect them to immediately say, oh, that's so wonderful that you're still smiling. They don't know who gave you that smile. They don't know how far God brought you. They don't know all the mess you had to deal with. They don't know your ups and downs. They're not going to understand you. So don't praise them because of them. You praise God because of what He's done for you. That is your offering. That is your offering that you give God. You talked about, that's fine. Criticized, that's still fine. Because the Lord is the one going to wake you up tomorrow morning. And here's what the Lord going to say to you. Give me some more of that praise. Give me some more of those thanksgiving. Give me some more of that honor and that glory. Ladies and gentlemen, your life absolutely cannot survive without praise. You're simply going to muddle your way through life, murmuring every step of the way. Why did this happen to me? Is that the kind of life you want to live? What you ought to do is lift up your head and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to praise you, but I'm going to praise you. I don't feel like it, but I'm still going to praise you. Scripture verses that I reference at this point, Psalm 34 and 1, and I'm sure that went through David's mind. I will bless the Lord at all times. Ups and downs, sickness, death, trials, struggles, tribulation, I'm still going to bless the Lord. Because I know it does not end with the situation. Everything ends with God. It began with Him and it's going to end with Him. And I don't know how He's going to do it, but He can make a way out of no way. And I can tell you one thing, through the whole process of whatever you're going through right now, God said, I'm right there with you. Praise me anyhow. Always honor God. Andre Crouch wrote a song, and I close with this reference. It's called My Tribute. Andre Crouch was a pioneer and legend in contemporary gospel music. And one of the songs that he sat down and penned was about God's glory. How can I say thanks for all the things He's done for me? Things so undeserved, yet He gave to prove His love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I have and ever hope to be, I owe it all. I owe it all. I owe it all. I owe it all to Thee. Then he says, to God be the glory. Can you say that today in your heart? To God be the glory. Stand on your feet and say it. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God, let me hear you. Be the glory. To God be the glory. For the things He has done. What did He do? With His blood, He has saved me. With His power, He has raised me. Oh, to God be the glory. For the things He has done. God bless you. May heaven smile on you. For those of you that are online, I know that you can't be in here, but we're going to give the invitation. And the invitation simply means to acknowledge God, to express that you need God, to express how much He's done for you, where He's brought you from. If there's someone today You feel that need in this auditorium. You feel that need for God. You want to be a part of the church. We're here to receive you. Yesterday we had a baptism. Someone had been touched online. You never know who we're going to reach. That's why we've got to make sure we're putting the word out. Amen? Not that we're that good, but God's so good. But if you're in here today and God has spoken to you, we invite you to come. The doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. If you're online, of course, you can't walk down the aisle, but what you can do is say, Pastor, I need God. Send us a line, pastor@crossroadbc.com. That's our website, and that's our email, pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we'll be happy to respond to you. For those that are in here, it's simply acknowledging, Lord, thank you for all you've done. I make you my Lord and my Savior. I invite you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. And when you do that, you're taking up that ark. You're saying, Lord, I want to take the praise home with me. Because Jesus Christ still saves. Father, thank you now for what you've done in this place. Thank you for teaching us about praise. And I've only scratched the surface. I only gave just a little bit about what it's like. The rest, we'll just have to simply apply it to our lives. Praise is comely. Praise magnifies you. I pray that in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said amen and amen. We're going to get ready for our offering. And while we're getting ready for the offering, Brother Carey is going to bless us. Amen. We're going to ask our officers to come forward at this time as we prepare to give unto the Lord.